Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena where the Preds take on the Dallas Stars tonight. The Animal has shown up.
What a treat.
Animal, it is so good to see you. Animal, happy birthday. Animal is the biggest Preds fan I know, or one of the biggest. And you always see him every game. He's got the Animal jersey on. It was his birthday the other day, Floyd, and I wish the Animal a happy birthday. And the best part about the Animal was he was the one who stood up to me before the playoffs last year and said the Preds were going to beat the Blackhawks. And I said, Animal, you're crazy. And he said, stop whining. You're whining. And that's exactly what he said. Animal, it is so good to see you. Happy birthday. Floyd, it is 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Animal, we will see you. It is 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means, Floyd, it is time for your favorite segment, Ask the GM.
The GM speaks.
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Couple lines open. Best question for the GM wins two tickets to the Bacon and Beer Classic at Nissan Stadium October 21st. Must be 21 years or older to attend. Sturgill is going to kick us off on Ask the GM. What's up, Sturgill?
Nothing much, gentlemen. My question for Floyd is, Mariota was supposed to be, everyone was saying this offseason, he was supposed to be the next QB to cash in, kind of like Matthew Stafford did this offseason. So, Floyd, do you think he's still going to cash in whenever they do his contract, or do you think they're going to do, I know Jared's going to hate this, but how they deal with Kaepernick in San Francisco to have a bunch of clauses where they could get out of it and all hang up and listen.
Thank you, Sturgill. I think Sturgill's big question is about the injury concern.
Sturgill sounds like he's in a big building someplace, like a barn or something.
No idea.
You know what? I think he's right now, I don't think anything he's done will affect his contract one way or the other. I think...
Even the injuries?
Right now. I think, truth is, he's not at a point where he needs to be talking about one of the giant contracts, you know, bigger than Carr, bigger, because he's still got to get a little ways before he gets there. But if this was contract year, would he get a nice contract? Absolutely. I mean, he would be very, very well compensated. The good thing about the number one first round draft choice contracts is they're 5 years. Like for him, it's a 5-year deal, so he's still got a little bit of time. But
you don't think the injuries have any effect on it?
I wouldn't now. Now, you've heard me say, I don't. I'm still not at the injury issue yet. But I mean, we're definitely looking in that direction. And I think you're at a point where you're getting a little bit suspicious. And like I said, I mean, if he comes out here and plays another 2-3 games and then is blown away some way, somehow, over whatever the injury might be, then I think you really start going, wait a minute now, something's wrong here.
David is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, David?
Man, I think that I was talking to your phone screener, but your first guest might have stole my call. I was going to say, is Marcus Jake Walker 2.0?
Floyd?
Yeah, I don't see that right now. He doesn't have a giant history in college. And so I think that, you know, you're not quite as alarmed. Now, again, and we've said this before, each one of these little dings that goes along, it's more, that's like this one. People say, well, it's only a pulled hamstring. And that's right, it is only a pulled hamstring. But that's after we just broke our leg, after we just got a knee injury, after. And so I think when you start adding all of those things together, all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute now, he's only played, you know, X number 8 of the last 10 games, or he's only played in, I saw somebody, one of the quarterbacks got hurt last week, that he's played in like he had missed 24 of 36 games or something crazy like that. Maybe Bradford. I can't remember exactly who it was. But, you know, you look at those numbers and you go, well, a guy like that you just can't count on. And this is a position in the NFL that you have to be able to count on.
Brandon is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Shop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Brandon?
GM, do you ever feel like everybody around you is taking crazy pills and you're the only sane person in the room?
That is a total knock on Ian. You know, I am offended for Ian back in the studio.
I got a question, okay?
Yes, sir.
I keep hearing people talk about, you know, let's pay in college athletes and that'll do away with some of the corruption. Well, here's my question. If the NCAA comes out tomorrow and says, all right, you know, Alabama, you can now pay your football player $5,000 a semester. And LSU, you can pay your football player $5,000 a semester. Well, if I'm a five-star athlete and each coach in the country wants me to come to their program, don't you think they're still going to find ways to pay me and incent me to come to their programs? I mean, that doesn't do away with corruption at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have never been in favor of the whole pay-to-play thing. I understand why people are doing it, why they're talking about it. I mean, Jared and I have talked about this time and time again with the whole Title IX thing. And the problem is, if you want to pay a quarterback or the best player in your football team $5,000 to play, that's one thing. But if you do that, then you've got to pay everybody that. And when you get down to, you know, the girls' lacrosse team, do you want to play everybody on that team $5,000? I mean, I think that's where the questions start, because it's not just a matter of playing football stars. You're playing hockey and golf and swimming and everything else.
And those people don't sell out stadiums of 50,000.
No. And I mean, let's face it. If you all of a sudden said, okay, Alabama, you can pay them $5,000 a player every sport across the board, well, that's well and good. But MTSU can't do that. You know, I mean, there are a lot of places that can't afford to do that. And if they, in fact, don't do it, now what happens? Now they can't recruit kids. So, I mean, it's really a mess.
Jason is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. I'm going to ask a little bit of a different question. So I wanted to put Floyd in a situation where he's the GM out in San Diego, or what used to be San Diego, now L.A., where you have an owner that's gone out of his way to antagonize fans and now can barely draw a half-full stadium in a 20,000-seat soccer stadium that's mostly full of the opponent's fans. How do you engage your owner in that situation? How do you engage your team when essentially they have no home games?
Well, you would be an expert. Thank you, Jason. You're an expert on
interestingly
this.
Enough. I've been through both scenarios. I've been through a year where we played, you know, 16 away games. That is, you were on a plane flying to Memphis every week or someplace else every week.
Just for people that don't know, because when the Oilers decided to move from Houston, it was announced they were going to come to Nashville. There was no stadium here.
Right.
So the first year was played in Memphis.
Right.
Then it was so bad, the second year was played at Vanderbilt. So
right.
Just for the people that don't know, given the background.
And so we've been through one where they have, you know, you've been on the road every game, literally every game. And then the year that we left Houston was a year that, I mean, we had, I think, one game. I think we had 15,000 people at the game. So, I mean, it was difficult at best. And the situations weren't all that dissimilar. Our owner was not happy in Houston. People in the city were not happy with the owner. And they just went back and forth and back and forth. And it got to the point where they just quit supporting the team. And we were actually going to stay an additional year there. But Bud decided, no, I'm not going to put my team through that, and got us to Tennessee, to Memphis, which was supposed to be better.
Do you think the Chargers stink, or do you think
was,
the soccer stadium thing is
stink? Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, and I said this after our couple of years of going through this, I said, you know what, we were 8-8 2 years, and I said, if we go 8-8, the new stadium, that's what we are, 8-8 team. But we ended up winning 13. So, you know, it hurts you. It's really hard. It's hard to play in front of a crowd of, you know, 15,000 people or 12,000 people. And you know, the opponent has 24,000 or whatever the numbers are. But it's really, really hard. And the thing you don't understand or you don't appreciate is these teams that play in front of 70,000 sold out rabid fans every week. And what a joy, a sheer joy that is compared to playing in front of, you know, 25,000 fans, half of which hate you.
Could you imagine if Aaron Rodgers, who's been in Green Bay his entire career, where they packed the stadium every game, all Packer fans, with all the waiting lists, if Aaron Rodgers got traded to the Chargers and now had to go to L.A., and he was playing in a soccer stadium where they were all visiting fans for home games?
Oh, yeah. He'd think it was a scrimmage.
He'd never be able to handle
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he'd be done.
Okay, we got one line open, 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Bob Stegen, Chop House, and Pella Windows. We'll get right back to the questions for the GM coming up next. Hey, we're bringing you the best coverage with our premier college football show, the Saturday Tailgate. It'll be myself and Julian Council at Mafiosa's in Franklin every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. Now we send it over to Braden Gall for the Honky Tonk Hat Trick. Braden, where are you, my brother?
That's right, people. The Honky Tonk Hat Trick is back. It's weekday Preds games. The boys are back, of course, after their Western Conference championship run, and they get things started in division play tonight, of course, against the Dallas Stars. And it's the Honky Tonk Hat Trick. Every single weekday home game for the Nashville Predators, you'll have an opportunity to win all kinds of free stuff. That's right, at Honky Tonk Central, Tootsies, and Rippies. You can come down, hang out before the game. We'll be here till about 6:30. We start at 5. We're going to be hanging out. We got great drink specials on Bud Light. You can also, while you're there, register for a pair of tickets to an upcoming weekday home game and passes, of course, to the Bud Light Zone, which obviously means all you can eat and all you can drink. I don't know what's better than that. So come on down. You got Bud Light Zone ticket chances you can win there. You can also register to win a VIP ticket experience as well, which will give you a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. You get dinner for two before the game and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. It's the Honky Tonk Hat Trick at Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central for every single weekday home game, brought to you by Bud Light. Obviously a big one against the Stars today, so come on down to Broadway. We got Preds fans. Stand with us. All the gold's everywhere. Huge one with the Dallas Stars. First game in the division. First game, of course, with the Western Conference. The Preds are back, folks, and so is the Honky Tonk Hat Trick. Come on down. You got Rippies, Tootsies, and Honky Tonk Central. You can win tickets to a game. You can win free stuff. Come on down and hang out with us here. It's Honky Tonk Hat Trick every weekday during every home Preds game right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. Before we get right back to the calls, can I ask you my Ask the GM question?
Yes, sir.
If I had a kid and named him Jared Jr. and that made me Jared Sr., like Steve Smith Sr., would you be okay with Jared Sr. and the GM?
Sure.
Drew is up next on Ask the GM. What's up, Drew?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Hey, first of all, Jared, I was one of the Falcons fans you watched the Super Bowl with last year, and I wanted to let all the listeners know that you're actually not that bad to watch football with, man.
Floyd won't do it with me, though, Drew. It's so disappointing.
Floyd, my question is, if UT loses to South Carolina this weekend, is Butch Jones out the door?
Should be. Thanks, Drew.
Wow. It'll be tight. I don't think, you know, he can ill afford to lose this game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Will it be the end? I don't know. Will it be a giant step in the direction of the end? I would have to say yes. I mean, people will not take kindly to that, especially if they lose in the fashion that they've been losing. And I think people are looking at this Garantano thing and thinking to themselves, okay, this is going to be some kind of a super answer. This is what we should have done long ago. If that goes in there and completely fails on top of everything else that's gone on, I think most fans are going to look at that and say, hey, we really have no hope. So I worry.
When we're talking fired, do we mean like, you know, essentially fired where it's the final straw that he'll be fired at some point? Or do we mean like fired on Sunday afternoon?
No, I wouldn't think. Well, but me, I wouldn't think Sunday afternoon.
I mean, I think they'll at least wait till Alabama. Let him lose to Alabama by 50 and then fire him. Alan is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Adam? Al?
Hey.
My bad.
Hey, Floyd, I appreciate all this knowledge you lay on us.
Thank you.
My question for you is, of all the teams in the NFL, are the Titans the only one that do not have a majority owner? And if so, is that only because they're Bud's kids? Or I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you.
You know, that's a great question. They might be the only ones that don't have a majority owner. The league wants somebody to have the majority, or they want somebody that is the lead dog, the lead person. And that's where Amy comes in. And I think they've gotten past that now. I think they've convinced the league that Amy is indeed the lead person of the ownership group. And so maybe they're past all that. I'm wondering, I read that the Denver Broncos, that Mr. Bolin is passing his team down to his, I want to say, three kids. So it's going to be a very, very similar situation. And it'll be interesting to see how they work it out because, you know, he's leaving them all the same. So they each have a third, just as we are here. And I wonder if they're going to run into a bunch of league issues too.
Well, wasn't he going to give it to the one son, but then the one son got in some serious problems?
I think the one son was going to be the guy, you know, was going to get the extra percentage or whatever it was to put him in charge. But he's got some issues of his own.
Yeah,
so I think he's fallen out of that.
And they kind of just have John Elway do all that stuff now. Chris is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Floyd. I've got a two-part question for you. Back when you were the GM and Jeff was coach, we had similar issues with Steve McNair being hurt. How involved is the GM with the coach in deciding if the quarterback plays? And the second part is the end game, you let them set out more games than you want, but when does it get to the point you play them because you got to win, you can't afford to protect them? And I'll hang up with stuff there.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, the truth is that the coach and the GM don't make many decisions when it comes to the health of the players. And I always liked it that way because I didn't want at some point in time a player coming back to me and saying just what you're saying now. You made me play. I wasn't ready. I never should have played. I got injured. It cost me a career. You know, that becomes public or true or not. You know, it's just an ugly place for a GM and a coach to be. So all of that's left up to the medical people. And what happens is they will have probably Tuesday, Monday night or Tuesday morning, they will all get together with all the doctors, trainers, everybody. They'll sit around and they'll go through the different injuries from that week. So they'll go through, like with Marcus, you know, Marcus strained his hamstring the end of the first half, went back out the second half, warmed up, tried to throw a ball, couldn't throw it. We took him out of the game. Okay, where is he now? And they'll go through and they'll try to detail exactly where it is. How long do you think it's going to be? What's the grade? Is it a strain? Is it a pull? Is it a tear? What is it? And they'll get all that information because they really need that to plan, to have an idea of what's going on. And the truth is, when we looked back at it, as soon as they signed Whedon, we probably should have said, aha, that's not a good indicator right there.
Why didn't you say that on the show?
Well, I mean, I thought they might have been just protecting themselves because they don't have that third guy. And that's the thing that has concerned me from the start. They're not happy with the guy that's on practice squad, or else they would have just moved him up. So then they're saying, okay, we've got to go get a third guy just in case. And that's where they are now. And the question is going to come back when when Marcus is playing. If Marcus plays this week and Whedon is put down, does Whedon need to continue to be here? And that's going to be a whole nother issue.
Royce is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Royce?
Hello, guys. Hey, Floyd. I got a question for you about Dick LeBeau.
Yes, sir.
As great as he is, and you've been the GM of two great organizations over in New England and here, with a mind like his, do you, as a GM, go out and look for a young coach to put on his staff for him to teach and maybe take and groom next? Or do you have a plan of going out and trying to find the next great defensive coordinator and bringing him in when he's gone? So how do you handle that as a coach gets older, as great as he is? How do you handle that looking for the next coach to replace him?
That's a good call,
good question,
Royce.
Yeah,
you.
Good question.
I mean, yeah, just like when you hired Norm Chow.
The truth is,
I'm so sorry.
When you bring and when you have somebody of LeBeau's caliber on your staff, then what you need to do, in my opinion, is you need to the same thing you would do if he was a 15-year quarterback. Bring in a young guy that you know can that Dick will trust, that you know will be smart enough, capable enough to learn all of that. Now, we did that when we had Buddy Ryan and Buddy left. We went out and hired Jeff Fisher simply because he was exactly the same system as the players we had. And we didn't want to go through and have to get rid of a bunch of a good players. So we brought him in. I think you saw the same thing here when Greg Williams, for example, left. We had a couple of guys in line that were able to step up. When you know, you lose a quality coach, somebody you feel really good about, if you have that next guy to step up, it should be seamless. It isn't always, but it should be.
You don't think that Chuck Cecil was good seamless transition after Jim Schwartz left?
Yeah, that was, I don't know, who was that, Jeff?
Well,
Jeff,
you weren't here. I know that much.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
I'm hoping that would never have happened under your watch, but I'm not so sure. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows. If you missed your opportunity to get into the GM, your chance next Thursday coming up at 5 o'clock. I got something I want to get to that Mike Mularkey said today. We'll get to that coming up next. Ian, do we need to send it over to Braden? Okay, let's do just that now, though. We'll get to what Mike Mularkey said, because I wonder if it's a subtle way of taking a jab at Marcus. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Braden Gall for the Honky Tonk Hat Trick. Braden, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? The Predators are back, and so is Honky Tonk's Hat Trick. The Honky Tonk Hat Trick every weekday for Predators home games. We're, of course, down here at Rippey's, we're at Tootsie's, and we're at Honky Tonk Central, and we're giving away a lot of free stuff. The Preds, of course, have the Dallas Stars tonight in town. First ever divisional game of the season. First Western Conference opponent of the season. Big one after the momentum of hanging the banner on Tuesday night. We got great drink specials on Bud Light. You can also come down and potentially register to win tickets to an upcoming weekday home game, which includes passes to the Bud Light Zone, which is all you can eat, all you can drink. One of the best places to watch a Predators hockey game is in the Bud Light Zone. So come on down, you'll have a chance to win those. You can also register to win the VIP hockey experience, which is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. How cool is that? So come on down, you have a chance to win. Come on down, drink some Bud Light, hang out with us, get ready for a big Preds game. It's the Honky Tonk Hat Trick at Tootsie's, Rippey's, and Honky Tonk Central every single weekday home game. The whole thing, of course, brought to you by Bud Light. So come on down, hang out, and root for the Preds.
I was able to participate in a good amount of practice. I wasn't able to do everything. But being able just to be, again, out here with the guys, doing some stuff, was big.
What were you able to do?
Typical, just going through the drills. You know, pretty similar to last week.
Feel good about your chances of playing Monday night?
Absolutely.
Marcus feels pretty good about his chances of playing Monday night, Floyd. Now, you right. just brought up something when you were talking to the callers and asked the GM, where they asked you about how does the GM and the coach handle injuries, and you said as a GM you didn't like to make the call on whether or not a guy was healthy enough to play.
Right.
So who would make the call then? The trainers, the doctors, the right. player? I mean, who?
No, no. All the medical people.
And then the medical people would come to you and say, Floyd, he's ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
We would have a meeting, sit around, and they'd say, you know, I think he's ready or he's not ready. Or, you know, we're going to have to practice him hard on Wednesday just to see if he's ready. You know, practice him hard Friday, whatever it is.
Was there ever a situation where the doctor said, look, the player's healthy. He's just not going out there and playing. And the player said, no, Floyd, I'm hurt. And they said, he's not hurt. And you said, yes, he's. And the player said, yes, he's hurt. Was there ever one of those where the doctor said, hey, the players needs to be tougher?
You know, I can't remember one, but that doesn't mean there wasn't one. There wasn't one.
Well, I bring that up because Mike Mularkey was talking about Marcus's injury today, and he was kind of asked the question about players needing to play through injuries. Here's what Mike said.
You know, that says a lot about him. I think that's what we like in players. We want dependable players that can be there on Sundays. And again, not everybody's healthy. Everybody realizes that. Everybody's got something going on. It's still early in the year, but there's still bumps and bruises on everybody. And get out there and play. That says a lot about you.
And he's talking about how it says a lot about the guys that get out there and play, and that they want players to get out there and play, and they want that. Well, Marcus didn't play on Sunday. And I'm wondering if that's kind of a subtle jab from Mike at Marcus to, hey, get your butt out there and play.
We are really after Mike today.
I'm not after Mike.
You are killing him.
No, I'm not.
Why would he? Let me ask you this. Again, I'm just curious. Why would a head coach take the franchise quarterback and do that to him? What possible benefit would that be?
Throw him under the bus?
Yes.
We see it all the time.
What possible benefit would that be for Mike Mularkey? Would that make the team better? Would that make Marcus better? Would it ingratiate him to any of the players or the staff or anyone involved? No.
Well, here's what it could do.
That is a lose, 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 lose.
I get that, but Mike wouldn't be the first head coach to come out and kind of nudge his franchise player a little bit. Also, on top of it, this is what it does. It gets Marcus, let's just say that if Mike was kind of nudging at Marcus there a little bit, it gets Marcus, and let's say Marcus says, you know what, he's right, I need to get back out there and play. And Marcus goes out there and plays. Now they probably have a really good chance that they're going to beat the Colts, and they're definitely going to beat the Browns. And people are going to get off Mike's butt. But if Mike loses, if let's say Matty Cassel plays and they lose to the Colts, and then you've lost to the Dolphins, who are horrible, and then the Colts, who might be a smidge better than the Dolphins in back-to-back weeks, people in this town are going to be on that coach's butt now. So maybe Mike is trying to nudge Marcus back out
in
there
the town,
so people get off his butt.
On the backup quarterback's butt. We've already seen that.
Oh, they're all over his butt.
Yes.
But it
they
goes for backup
be,
quarterback
they,
right to coach.
They will be on J-Rob, and they will be on the backup quarterback. Those will be the two guys. They'll be on J-Rob for not signing another guy or for not getting the right guy or however they'll phrase it. And they're going to be on Matty for not being able to win the game.
I'm so torn, though, on how I feel about how Mike feels about this. Because I started the show today trying to analyze it as I was breaking down kind of the history of this injury from the first day when it was day-to-day and every fib that Mike has told along the way about Marcus's injury. And let me state for the record, I like Mike Mularkey. I think he's a good coach.
You could not tell that today.
I tell you, I
you
like him.
You could not tell
I
that
I do
today.
Like him. And, I mean, I like him as a guy. I like him as a coach. I like him. And so, anywho... So, but I couldn't follow, like, the path of what he's been saying about it adding up to Marcus's injury. And I thought that he was the one holding Marcus back. Now, I'm starting to feel after I heard that maybe he's trying to nudge
so
Marcus
let,
back
me, let's
out there.
Start with
I
the,
don't know,
let's
Floyd.
Let's start with the initial premise here, which was, I don't know, how did you phrase it? I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what. As soon as you start with I don't know, that's all you need to say. I mean, then stop right there. I don't know. That's right. You don't know.
Well, how can you know when he doesn't tell
you're
you anything?
You're not supposed to know.
He tells us something new
he
every day.
He doesn't care if you know or not.
It was day to day 10 days ago.
It is not his job to inform you on the health of his players.
It technically is his job to do that.
And it'll come out in written form on, when is it, Wednesday or Thursday? And you can read it and you can go from there. Now, you'll be... Let's see. You want me to give it to you? It'll say limited. Oh, my God. What are we doing now? This has got now he's taken him and he's made him limited. And that means what? And we will spend a lot of time talking about it.
I haven't listened to anything you just said because
I don't blame you.
I know it's rooted.
You know how,
it's so rooted in how you want this utopian GM society to be.
You know how I feel most of today.
Oh, this is great.
Exactly I am.
Here's the thing. So Floyd doesn't like to have these type of talks where we talk about how one of his friends, the coach who he used to coach with the Vikings, or the GM who used to work for him in the Patriots personnel department, doesn't like to have these talks where we analyze what they say and decide what they're actually saying or if they're lying. Today you have been exceptionally prickly about analyzing what Mike has said about Marcus's injury.
Only because I've tried to put my point across to you three or four times, which is he doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know. That's why you can't figure it out. It's not a mystery. If he wanted you to know, he would call you or text you and say, here's what's going on.
So he's lying.
Call it whatever you want.
Play that clip again, Ian, please. The one about Mike today talking about Marcus's injury. And just think. He was asked about players who play through injuries. And remember, Marcus did not play through his injury on Sunday. Play the clip again. Thank you.
You know, that says a lot about him. I think that's what we like in players. We want dependable players that can be there on Sundays. And, again, not everybody's healthy. Everybody realizes that. Everybody's got something going on. It's still early in the year, but there's still bumps and bruises on everybody. And get out there and play. That says a lot about you.
If he likes the guys who are dependable and play on Sundays, how does he feel about the guys who don't play on Sundays or the guy that did not play last Sunday? You got to ask yourself that question, Floyd.
Oh, yes, you do.
Let's go to Doug, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Jared. Hey, I know you were busy as a basketball. I forget what you did up there at that criminal school in Louisville. Anyway, I mean, you're familiar with hamstring. You know, you understand when a hamstring is injured, the possibility of injuring it more severely, especially if you're a quarterback. Think about last week. If Mariota had been running from Sue and had pulled that thing further, hey, he could be out for the rest of the year. So why would he go in last week? And I know you want to read everything you can into the coach's speak, although the coach owes you no explanation as media, you know, hockey, football, any sport, they owe no explanation to you. So just use your common sense. They're keeping him out so he doesn't get injured further.
I already said that. That was my whole premise earlier today, Doug. And thank you for the call. That's what I said early today, and the GM yelled at me.
It's so interesting to me.
What I said earlier today?
When we get to this point in time in the program where somebody will call up and say, you know what, the sun is going to come up in the east tomorrow. I knew it. I told you that. I told you in the first part of the show that's what was going to happen.
This caller was like, hey, Jared, you moron, the sun's going to come up in the east. I said that.
I said that already.
He's trying to sit there and say, hey, Jared, don't you think they tried to keep Marcus out because they felt like if they played Marcus, he might get hurt more and that the coach tried? That was my whole point the first hour, and you said I was wrong.
That what? They were keeping him out because he was going to get hurt?
I told you, he could have played on Sunday.
You're delusional today. Why would I, after 40 years of football, say, you know what, they just kept him out because they wanted to? It wasn't because he was hurt and they thought it was best for the player.
Crummy Dolphins.
Jeez. I mean, you got to remember where we're coming from. What would the head coach benefit at all for not having the quarterback out there?
Well, everybody's on his tail right now because they did lose to the crummy Dolphins.
Well, yeah, but it's not. You think not having your quarterback out there is going to help that?
No, back
if to the quarterback would have been out there, they would have won.
Back to the abrasive caller's point. The idea that they're going to let it heal all the way before he plays against the Colts or plays against whoever, that is what Mike wanted. Mike wanted, you know, to kind of skim by with Matty Cassel, beat the crummy Dolphins, and then turn it around so that they could play that team. Now, I'll say this. You kind of got me convinced that that might be wrong when you said that you as a GM didn't like to make calls on players and let the medical people make the calls. So then it makes me think maybe Mike didn't make the call on whether or not Marcus played.
Right.
Which I am surprised was a point you didn't bring up earlier today in the show, but you always hold out on us anyway. Like the time that Mike said he was going to fire the wide receivers coach. Oh, yeah, I knew that 3 weeks ago when he said the offensive coordinator was coaching the receivers. Like, where was that on the show? Well, I wanted to be sure. I'm like, what did that? So there is all of that. Coming up next, everything you need to know about tonight's Stars-Preds game. Of course, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pre-game coverage starting at 6, but Preds game day is next. Everything you need to know. Hear from Coach Peter Laviolette and much, much more. It's Jared the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's game day in Smashville. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators game day here on Jared and the GM. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pre-game coverage starting in just under 15 minutes. Puck drop in a little bit over an hour against the Dallas Stars tonight, Floyd. The Stars come into Nashville 1-2-0. They have a new coach this season, which happens to be their old coach. Ken Hitchcock is the head coach of the Dallas Stars. Many, of course, remember Ken Hitchcock as the head coach with the St. Louis Blues. Let's hear from Coach Peter Laviolette, who was asked today about facing Ken Hitchcock and the Dallas Stars, the new-look Dallas Stars, for the first time.
I think every time you play one of Ken's team, it's a heavy game and a heavy team, and that's the way it was in St. Louis. And our games with Dallas have always been that way. I think the most important thing is that when you walk into the rink for the game tonight, that your mindset is right and you know exactly what you have to do to be successful. So we tried to take care of that in the morning meetings and hope that our guys are ready to go out and execute the way we need to in order to beat this team.
Sounds like some physical hockey tonight against Dallas, Floyd.
Sounds like a battle. It usually is. I think he's probably right. When you play this group, they're going to be physical. They're going to bang you around, want to bang around. You know what? We can play that kind of game too. You know, that's one of the great things about this team, versatility and some of the things that we've seen in the past. You have to assume, hey, if you want to skate fast, we can do that. You want to play hard? We can do that too.
Plus, as Terry Crisp said earlier today on the show, Dallas has that high-end type of talent. We're talking Tyler Seguin. You're talking Jamie Benn. I mean, that's high-end talent that the Dallas Stars have. I mean, to be completely frank with you, and I don't respect the Dallas Stars enough, they probably, if we were to draft these two teams, the Preds and the Stars, of the first 8 guys, it'd probably be 5 or 6 Dallas Stars. I mean, Dallas has a very talented roster. A lot of people were picking them coming into the season as kind of their central division favorite, maybe, and that's against a team in the Predators who went to the Stanley Cup final. So, I mean, you know, this is to get an idea, too, of playing their first central division game. Because we know, look, their first 3 games, Boston, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, those are all Eastern Conference teams that they're going to see once more the rest of the season. This is the Central Division. These are the Dallas Stars. You're going to see them a lot throughout the course of the year. You may see them in a playoff series, the way the playoffs work in the NHL. So there is probably a lot more to take away tonight against a team you know you're going to see down the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is going to be a team that you're going to play a number of times, a team you have to, you know, you're not only going to play a number of times this year, but you're going to play a number of years. And we've talked about this division before. I mean, this is an outstanding division. We know that. And it's going to be hard to go in there and, you know, win every game you want to win in the division, but you've got to get off to a fast start.
For the injury report for tonight's game, the Predators will be without defenseman Ryan Ellis. Of course, Ellis out until about January. So every time we do this segment, He's going to be out until about January. Colton Sissons and Roman Josi both missed Tuesday night against Philadelphia. They are game-time decisions and day-to-day with lower body injuries. However, they were on the ice this morning for morning skate, but not with any – it doesn't look like they're going to play tonight. So in place of Colton Sissons, you would replace it with Pontus Aberg. And in place of Roman Josi, Samuel Girard, the 19-year-old, who made his debut the other night. Well, you got a big show.
You have to think about that name, don't you?
Pontus Aberg? Well, he changed his name.
I know it.
I mean, you know, I'm sitting there about to say Pontus Aberg. He changed his name to Pontus Aberg. Time to take a look at the standings here in the Central Division for the Predators. Remember, hey, the other night when we did Predators game day, the Predators were in last place.
Yes.
In the Central Division. That, of course, has changed. The Predators, after their win over Philadelphia, are now in fifth place in the Central Division in a three-way tie with Dallas and Winnipeg. Each team has 2 points on the young season. The Predators right now, St. Louis leads the Central Division. They've already got 8 points through four games played as they are a solid 4-0. The whiny Mike Yo has found a way to win some hockey games. Chicago is 3-0-1 on the young season. They've got 7 points in second place. Colorado in third, Dallas fourth, Nashville fifth, Winnipeg sixth, and Minnesota seventh. Don't expect Colorado to stay up in the top three very much or for much longer throughout the course of the season. At least I don't expect them to.
I think it'd be a shock for a lot of people.
Stay up there.
Yes.
Colorado. But I will say this. You know, we talked to a lot of people that say the one thing you worry about October, don't get yourself dug in or don't dig yourself too deep of a hole. And right now, St. Louis is avoiding – you know, they staying out of that predicament by starting the year off 4-0. Chicago kind of same way, 3-0-1. The Predators will get Chicago on Saturday night at Chicago.
Back to Chicago.
Hey, you're the one who's got all the faith against Chicago.
Yes, we've got them.
What?
It'll be really, really interesting to see Chicago and how they react to us this time. Because, I mean, they have to look at us in a whole different light after the sweep.
What to watch for in tonight's game here on Predators Game Day. GM, what are we watching for tonight against the Dallas Stars?
I think we kind of hit it a little bit earlier, which is this is a division foe, toughest division in hockey. I mean, you've got to get off to a fast start and win these division games. Not only because you play them a number of times, but, I mean, wins at a point in time during the season, they're probably going to be hard to come by. And so every single one of these wins you can get will mean a lot later on.
Especially when you discuss the fact that the Predators' two losses are to Eastern Conference
teams. Yes.
And so for you to go and win a Central Division game against Dallas kind of takes some of the pressure off of the Central Division game against Chicago on Saturday night. In a perfect world, the Preds would win both of those Central Division games.
Be nice.
But – you know, it's kind of a size it up type of thing. I mean, you're going to get these teams five times throughout the course of the year.
Right.
You know, so you're kind of sizing everybody up early in the season. And then I think if you were to say, what am I going to watch for? The young players have made some mistakes. You know, Samuel Girard made a big mistake the other night. But I like the way the young players are playing. But they need the older guys that are now on their, you know, on their leadership councils. And they know they need those guys to play like it. Philip Forsberg the other night played like a superstar. And that's what they need. Scott Hartnell played like the old school veteran that he is. That's what they need. They need those guys to play those type of games. That's it for us. We're out of here. Back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Darren McFarland up next with the pregame show. Puck Drop with the voice of the Nashville Predators at 7. Pete Weber, that's coming up next. ESPN 102.5, The Game.